Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is wonderful to be with you here this morning. It's nice and warm inside. Yeah, it's good to be here today to worship God and offer our prayers and praise together. If you are online with us this morning, thank you for being here. We appreciate you being present and part of this community as well. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon. And Lindsay, I'm going to change my title. I'm part of the pastoral care staff. Yeah, I got a title. No big deal. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God, and we do that in many different ways. If you got your bulletin this morning, please take out your connection card. Take a moment to fill that out. You will see on the back of the card many opportunities, as well as the ones scrolling on the screen and in the bulletin itself, for you to become involved and be a part of all that's going on here. If there is not something in there that you are interested in, but you feel God calling you to be a part of, please write that in and get in contact with one of the pastors, some of the team leaders for the various ministries, and we'll see if we can get things going. There are also prayer cards in the front of your pews. They are bright yellow, so you can't miss them. If you are in need of prayer or someone you know is, please fill one of those out, and we will make sure that it gets to the clergy and as well as the prayer team, so that those prayers and your concerns might be lifted to God. Today helping us in worship is Rose Bledsoe and Tom Doan. They will be reading scripture and prayer for us today. And if you haven't already, I don't see any kids, so I'm going to assume they're all down in Sunday school that is taking place down in the lower level. I have three announcements this morning. The first of which is for the new prayer class that is starting this week, this Thursday at 2 p.m. Here at the church. You will be introduced not just to some regular prayers that you may be familiar with, but some prayer techniques that might stretch you, help you connect with God, and help you to hear God in your life. So please consider being a part of that group. Also coming up this week is the open table, the adult luncheon and fellowship time. We need a count of people so we can have the right amount of food prepared. So please plan on joining us. Let us know that you're going to be coming. It is a great time with good food and lots of good conversation. So it is at noon on February 6th. And then lastly, the volunteer opportunity at CAS Social Services that we do monthly is coming up. It's on February 8th. If you need a ride, you can contact Laura Kelly, who I see sitting right over there, so she can raise her hand. Another great opportunity to be in service, to get out and be with your fellow church members and doing sharing your gifts with the community at large. And as you see, Lindsay's here to give us another announcement.
This morning, we have a special announcement. I would invite forward Mike Kelly. He's our chair of the leadership board, a special staff announcement to make. Thank you, Mike.
Hello, good morning. CAS is a great opportunity because my wife helps to run it and lead it. She poked me and told me to make sure to encourage you all to be here Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Besides that, a quick announcement on staffing. So about a year ago, we know our children's director of children's programming, Allison left the church, found a really good new position for her. Since that time, we've jumped back and forth on how we're going to fill it, and we've looked for somebody. We know that this is a critical position in the church. 6 or 8 weeks ago, we made the announcement that Pastor Lindsay would increase her responsibilities and take on that responsibility, which opened up some opportunity to move some different positions around. At that time, we opened up the role of Director of Mission and Justice, And we look for somebody to come in to help to focus on those two areas of the church, to help make them stronger, bring more focus, and bring more attention to it. I'm happy today to announce that Suzanne Everett has been put into that position, or has, what's the best word? Is the new director of justice and mission. That goes along with her current role of director of communications. So she's very familiar with the church. She's been here for years and years and years. So a big welcome to Suzanne, a big thanks and appreciation for the work that she'll be doing to continue to focus on these two areas of the church for us. If you have any questions, certainly I'll be around after the service. Certainly ask the pastors or anybody else, and we'll get your questions answered. Thank you very much.
Good morning, and happy Groundhog Day. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we come before you in praise and wonder. Enlighten us with your word. Help us to reach beyond ourselves to meet your expectations of us. Give us the tools we need to be more faithful, more accepting, and more loving in your name. Amen. scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 16, 13 to 17. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serves here at the congregation, and it is a great joy to be with you in worship this morning. We're starting a new sermon series called The Questions That Jesus Asked. So we'll be looking at a variety of those kind of red letter words that we see in the Bible, a variety of those questions that he asked. We have some good questions for us to consider this morning. I would invite you to join me in a spirit of prayer. Oh, loving and gracious God, on this beautiful day, you have woken us up and you have gotten us into the car and walked into the doors of the sanctuary or turned on our devices at home and come into the space ready to worship. Oh God, as we gather, we pray that you may take aside all of those things that might distract us and help us to come more fully present here today. Oh Lord, help us to set aside those worries that we hold and those concerns, and help us to think upon your scripture this morning, bringing clarity, bringing insight, helping us, Lord, to discover ourselves in this scripture this morning. Oh Lord, you who are our rock, our redeemer, we thank you, we praise you, and Lord, may you speak to me and through me this day, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that it may be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us your beautiful, beloved children of God. Amen. I've often wondered that if Jesus were going to go on a job interview and he needed a resume, how would that resume read? You know? Would he write it on a stone tablet? Would he have it on scrolls? What kind of would be printed on the paper there? It would say Jesus, but then it might also have other names that he's known as Messiah and Christ and Son of God and Son of Man, the Anointed One, the Lord. You know, the contact information, it would say his birthplace, his hometown was Bethlehem, but it's Jesus of Nazareth. Parents, it's Mary and Joseph. And God, let's not forget that. Special skills, a carpenter, a teacher, a preacher, the savior of the world. And special skills, he walks on water, he calms the storms, heals the blind, turns water into wine, and he can feed a hungry crowd of 5,000 with just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. For good reference, check with John the Baptist or Simon Peter or the other disciples or Mary Magdalene and just check with God. I'm sure there's a great character reference there. If someone was trying to get to know Jesus on paper, what might we read? Who is Jesus? On paper, of course, if we were to read through the scriptures, if we were to scour the scriptures, if we were to open up our Bible and study it, or on paper, if we were to open our theology books written by the best scholars or the most profound professors or the most brilliant pastors, or if we were to even skim the words, the lyrics of a hymnal, and discover a variety of texts there, we might be able to answer the question on paper, who is Jesus? On paper, amongst those verses and theology statements and hymns, we can read and we can discover that he's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the great shepherd, our Savior. We can read about it on the words of paper, and we can digest that meeting, and we can discover in our heads as we read along that he is the risen Lord, that living Christ. You know, I suppose that there's an answer to this question, who is Jesus? If we want to answer it with our heads, we can do that. But we can probably also answer that question with our hearts. During Jesus' adult ministry, lots of people were curious about who he was. There was lots of talk. People like to talk. They were trying to figure out, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Who is this guy that was born in Bethlehem? Who is this guy? And when Jesus asked the disciples to kind of spill the tea, to kind of share the chatter that people have been talking about, it was Simon Peter that filled in the blanks. He shared that water cooler gossip. He shared the chit-chat that was going around. And Simon Peter said, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And he was right. Jesus affirmed his response. When we hear, or I guess when we read these words on the page, and it goes to our head to process this meaning, we can understand who is Jesus in our head. But I'm also interested in knowing for you, who is Jesus if you were to answer that question in your heart? Who is Jesus? I'll tell you who Jesus is for me. First thought this morning. Jesus is our hope on hard days. Do you ever wake up, open up the shades, and yet again it's another gray Michigan day? Hey, that worked out well with my sermon illustration. Do you ever check your phone, maybe in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning? Do you ever open up the morning news? Do you turn on the TV? Do you discover yet again there's some type of crisis around the world or in your own backyard? Do you ever get a text or a phone call or an email or a Facebook messenger, however else you're reached? Do you ever get a text or a phone call from a friend or maybe a family member only to be updated on the hard news, the stuff you didn't want to hear? Do you ever find yourself awake at 2 or 3 in the morning and you're tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken from Costco, you know, spinning around in that bed of yours? Do you ever find yourself focused on those problems in your mind and those tough choices that are before you? Do you ever find yourself at 3 a.m. having anxiety just fill in your bloodstream? Or maybe, have you ever opened your bank account or pulled up your credit card and wondered your statement and wondered, how on earth are you going to make this work, living paycheck to paycheck? You know, I'm guessing that at some point in time you found yourself in a situation like one of these or something similar. It goes with being human, doesn't it? It goes with adulting. You know about adulting. It goes with adulting. And if it's not one of these situations, maybe there's a whole host of other things that make you wring your hands, that makes your hair turn prematurely gray, that makes your blood pressure rise, and the doctor tells you to try to get that under control just a little bit. And yet, in the midst of all of these realities, I can say that Jesus is our hope on hard days. And you know, the answer to the problems, it's not found at the end of an empty bottle. Problems don't go away with one more glass of wine. The storms of life aren't calmed with unhealthy coping mechanisms and seeking out relationships beyond those marriage vows. Our troubles aren't soothed with one material purchase, one more shopping bag filled online or in the hand with that new shiny stuff. It won't make our troubles go away. It only sometimes puts us in debt. And those frustrations of life can't be ignored by just trying to become a workaholic and forget it doesn't exist. Life's hard, friends, isn't it? It is filled with troubles. And we can't control every situation, no matter how hard we try. We can't urge our way into the way we want things to be. We can't wave our magic Harry Potter wands and make stuff turn out how we want it. Jeez, preacher, you are giving us good news this morning, aren't you? Whew. It's gray, Michigan. A discouraging word. I know, life's hard. But Jesus is still our hope on hard days. Our hope in hard times. Jesus is our hope on hard years or hard decades. Jesus is our hope. There's the story, perhaps you've heard it. If you've been to church a time or two, if you've been to worship with us on Holy Week or been here on Easter morning, there's this story, the reality, the story of Jesus. The Jesus who was put to death on a cross, whose hands were nailed, whose feet were nailed, whose side was pierced, who was put on with a crown of thorns over his head. That Jesus whose story we remember is our hope in hard times. The Jesus who experienced the most challenging death, who was falsely accused, who was turned over into the hands of these corrupt leaders, who was persecuted for just loving God and neighbor. It's that Jesus who's our hope in hard days. And just when the disciples thought that the worst had happened, when they thought that their rabbi, their teacher had been killed, it was just then that they had to wait 3 days. But then the most amazing thing happened. You know the story, right? He burst forth from that tomb of death. He brought new life. He brought new life. The worst thing was not the last of things. The story didn't end there. On the cross, we saw what humanity was capable of, and on Easter morning, we saw what God is capable of. There was more to the story. Death wasn't going to hold him. New life was coming, and resurrection took place because up from the grave, he arose. Frederick Buechner is a brilliant theologian and pastor. He said, "The worst thing is never the last thing. There's always hope." Who is this Jesus? For me, Jesus is hope on hard days. Who's Jesus for you? Second thought I want to share is that Jesus is the giver of grace and new beginnings. Jesus is that giver of grace and new beginnings. We have this beautiful hymn found on page 378. It's Amazing Grace, and the writer of this, John Newton is the writer of this text, and on page 378, sometimes we love to sing this song in worship, and it speaks of God's amazing grace. Oh, that's Jesus, the giver of grace. The starter of new beginnings, just when you feel like you have screwed up yet again, he wipes that slate clean. And he gives second chances, and he gives third chances, and he gives fourth chances, and he gives 40th chances, because that is the God of new life and transformation. Jesus is the giver of grace. I like to call myself a recovering perfectionist. Anybody else a perfectionist out there? Try to be. I think I've spent too much of my life trying to think that if I just do it perfectly, then somehow maybe God and others will love me. But here's the reality. We don't have to try to be perfect. We don't have to try to hide behind some type of mask we cover up. We don't have to try to be somebody other than ourselves, because on our good days and on our bad days, God's a giver of amazing grace, and we don't have to be perfect to earn it. It's just given. So whether you feel like you've dug yourself into a hole and there's no way out, Jesus is a giver of grace Remember the days when we actually had chalkboards in elementary schools? Oh, they hardly even use magic erase boards now, or, you know, whiteboards anymore, because it's all digital. But remember the days of the chalkboard? Oh, and you got to be that lucky student if the teacher said, please take the erasers out at recess and clap those erasers and dust off that chalk, right? So that way the teacher could go in and continue writing in cursive. Nobody knows cursive these days. No one under 18, maybe. But, right, the teacher could start writing again, and when they needed to, she or he could then erase that board, and, right? Erasers. Jesus is like that eraser on the chalkboard, wiping this chalkboard clean. And when we goof up in life, that's okay. He claps them off and hands us the eraser and says, try again. God's amazing grace. Jesus is the giver of grace and new beginnings. The last thought I want to share is that, oh, Jesus, he cares for us. And he's our little gentle nudge in helping us love our siblings in Christ a little bit more. He cares for us. The psalmist in Psalm 23 says these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23 shares these words, shares this image of Jesus as that good shepherd, caring for us. Some translations will say, this one says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Other translations will say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." What an image. To lack nothing so much so that because the shepherd has cared for your needs and helped you walk along those still waters and have drink to quench your thirsty tongue, and there's green pastures there for you to graze, and when you're afraid, he's there to take care of you. What an image. Jesus is that great shepherd. He cares for us. But here's the second thought to this idea. He also is the one that gently nudges us into our loving our siblings in Christ. He gently nudges us into more fully loving God and neighbor. And at times, the sheep are doing a great job and they follow his voice and they are steered by his shepherd's staff. But at other times, the gentle nudge isn't enough and we need a good push. When we're paying attention, he gently nudges us into loving God and neighbor, but when we're not taking his subtle cues or acting upon his direction, he may give more honest and clear and direct communication. Get going, church! Step up! Love God, love neighbor. I have work for you to do. It's time to put your faith into action. Let's get going. Stop grazing on the pasture. And get out there. It's almost like Jesus has this way of making the comfortable feel slightly uncomfortable. Turning up the heat just a little bit to make us move beyond our comfortable living zones, to make us feel maybe just a little bit uneasy, to saying, you are my sheep and I will care for you. But don't get too comfortable because I have work for you to do. And that work is to care for other sheep. That work is to make sure that not only your belly is filled with the grass and the cool water to drink, but your call, sweet sheep, is to help care for the others as well. Jesus makes the comfortable feel a little uncomfortable, doesn't he? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has a monument set for him, a beautiful monument. King is known for great words, that preacher, that activist, that theologian. He would say, if I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way. Sometimes we feel like we can't do it all, but we can do small things in a great way. And on MLK's memorial, on his sculpture, there are beautiful quotes and phrases to help us to remember his work. And he says, I have the audacity to believe that people everywhere can have three meals a day for their bodies, and education and culture for their minds, and dignity and equality and freedom for their spirits. And King understood the words and the work of Jesus to help get us moving, to help us loving our neighbor, to help serving in his name. In our heads, we can read about Jesus and digest it. But in your heart, who is Jesus to you? Who do you say I am? Who is Jesus for you? Is he your hope on hard days? Is he your giver of grace and new beginnings? And is he your caregiver, but also that one who gently nudges us into loving our neighbor more fully? Maybe you wrestle with these challenging words. And may we be spurred on to love God more fully. Amen.
Tis indeed the day of Candlemas, an ancient feast day and celebration of light, when men were wont for to discern by Candlemas day what weather should be. If Marie's purifying day be clear and bright, with sunny ray, the frost and cold shall be much more after the feast than was before. But if on Candlemas day it be shower and rain, winter is gone and will not come again. That was for Rob. February 2nd, midway between the spring equinox and winter solstice, was the Christian feast of the purification of the Virgin Mary in ancient England. This goes back to a pre-Christian tradition of looking forward to spring, as we all do. People would try to predict the arrival of nicer weather by observing when ground-dwelling animals would emerge from hibernation. Superstitions, traditions, beliefs, and even the accomplishment of chores transform over time. Years ago, a young man at the Standish Church chuckled that his little girl was looking out the window and reported, "Daddy, the neighbor is out there snow blowing the driveway by hand." Well, today we found out whether we will need to shovel more snow or revel in the early arrival of spring, according to the groundhog, which has become just a fun tradition after all these centuries. We could call ourselves enlightened, but I think we have a long way to go before humankind reaches enlightenment. In the meantime, we rely on God's guidance to determine when our own spring thaw may occur. Lord of all, please gather within your arms all those who mourn, especially the families and friends of those who perished this past week in the air disasters in Washington and Philadelphia. Hold close to your heart the many thousands of victims of devastating fires and floods, East Coast and West Coast. Welcome and rejoice with those who have received their loved ones back from the clutches of animosity in the Middle East, and help to ease the anxiety of those who await news of their family members and what remains of their homes. Place a blanket of love and protection over the teams that travel to Liberia tomorrow to engage in community fellowship and Christian service. We ask that you bless the beautiful quilts on display this morning, which will go to Steve Tooman, Don Siegfried, and Bruce Stark with our love and prayers. We now lift up in silence the concerns and joys we hold within our hearts. Gracious God, our Creator, let joy and the hope of coming spring flow through us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus invites us to the table. The table of grace, the table of love. Jesus invites us to experience healing and wholeness. Jesus invites us to break bread. And so we come to this table this morning knowing all are welcome. We come to this table this morning to remember.
On this night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ has risen.
Christ will come again.
Oh, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. As Jesus gathered with the disciples around the table and they broke bread and they shared the cup, it was a sign and an expression of love and new covenant, of grace, of hope and new beginnings. And so we're invited this morning to come to the table to encounter Christ there, to receive bread that gives life and a cup that offers grace. In a few moments, the ushers are going to invite you to come forward. You're coming to come forward by the side angled aisles there from front to back is the way we'll invite you to come. And you'll receive a small piece of bread, and then you'll also receive a small communion cup. Go ahead and eat the bread and drink the juice. And as you make your way back to your seat through that center aisle, you're going to note two little baskets there where you can place your used communion cups. We're going to have three serving stations, one over by the piano, one over on this kind of prayer quilt side, and a center one in the middle here for those that are in need of gluten-free almonds. Those will be in the middle. Once you come, all are welcome to receive.
And a reminder that if this is your first time visiting with us, we are so glad that you chose to be with this congregation this morning and be part of our prayer and praise. We also thank, if you are a regular attender and a regular giver, know that you are also appreciated for the years of support that you have given that allow us to do the ministries that we do, serving God in this community and beyond.
Lord, please accept and bless the offerings we bring today. Help us to be a people who reach beyond ourselves. Use these offerings to make a difference in the world around us. In your name we pray, amen.
Do you say that I am? Who is Jesus for you? Jesus is our hope in hard times. Jesus is our giver of grace and new beginnings. Jesus is our gentle nudge and becomes more persistent in nudging us to love our neighbor. May we go forth with the love of God in our hearts, the peace of Jesus always with us, and the power of the Holy Spirit to love our neighbor as ourselves. Go forth this day. Amen.
Thank you.
are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.